This Christmastide is unlike any other of our lives. With the pandemic surging everywhere, we keep these 12 days of Christmas very differently this year. For the first time in my entire life, I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day alone. There were no festival liturgies here in the church with every seat taken. There were no delicious meals shared with family and friends. I did not travel to visit out-of-state family. I have to say, this was disorienting and very strange for me. And I think that's true for all of us. For every one of us, this time of celebration is not how we would like it. Yet, while some before Christmas suggested that this year Christmas was canceled by the pandemic, I do not agree. For no matter what it may feel like and how we may keep it differently, Christmas has indeed come as it does every year. It arrives not because of us. It doesn't come by what we have done or how we are feeling. It doesn't arrive because of our efforts, but because of what God has done. Christmas is the great gift that God gives us by taking on human flesh, coming to dwell among us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is born the child of Bethlehem not because everything is right and perfect with the world, but precisely because things are not how they ought to be, how God desires things to be. In the incarnation, God comes to us in a baby named Jesus, a name that means God saves. God desires to save us from everything that alienates us from God, our neighbor, ourselves, and creation. In this year of great suffering, when the coronavirus has laid bare the ills and injustices of our world, we are more aware than ever of our need for God to enter in and save us. As illness, suffering, and death grip the planet, and economic uncertainty and injustice leave many people hungry and on the cusp of losing their homes, we need God to save us. As people of color continue to experience the legacy of slavery through the evil of white supremacy and systemic racism, we need God to save us. Keeping these days of Christmas in this year has been especially poignant for me. The day after Christmas, we kept the feast of St. Stephen, deacon and first martyr. Stephen is stoned because he refuses to stop preaching Jesus. And as he is being stoned to death, he has a vision of Jesus seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is born to lift humanity to the throne of God. And as Stephen lies dying, he sees the place where Jesus has gone, the place Jesus desires to bring him and all of us. Then 2 days later, on December 28th, we kept the Feast of the Holy Innocents, those infants who are killed by King Herod, the insecure ruler who sits nervously on his throne. When he hears a king is born, Herod panics, and he perceives this baby to be a threat. To preserve his rule, he orders all male babies in Bethlehem under the age of 2 be killed. These are two gruesome accounts of martyrdom, a feast kept immediately after Christmas Day. They show some of the worst human actions and impulses, though these are impulses that we all display in varying degrees. What these feasts remind us is that all was not perfect and right with the world when Jesus was born. Christmas assures us that, though all is not right with the world now, that is precisely why God enters in to save us. Today's gospel continues this theme of Christmas, of God entering into what is not perfect and right, both with our world and our lives, entering in to redeem, to set things right in accord with God's loving intentions. Our passage this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, and it tells the story of Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus being caught in the political realities of their time, being caught in the wrath of that King Herod, and they become refugees in order to save the child's life. Matthew reminds us Jesus was born into a world that is not very different from our own. He explains the politics that caused the Holy Family to flee into Egypt. Like many rulers, King Herod was insecure. His power required this delicate balancing act between Roman rulers, Jewish temple officials, and the people. Herod would literally do anything to maintain his power. He even killed one of his wives and sons. When the wise men come to Herod seeking information about the newborn king, Herod pretends that he too wants to go and worship the child. And so he asks these mysterious visitors from the east to bring him news of where the child is born. Herod's motives, however, are not virtuous. He wants to find this newborn king and kill him. The wise men do indeed find Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem. They present their gifts and they worship the child. Being warned in a dream not to trust Herod, they return to their own country without bringing Herod news of the child. Once the king realizes the wise men have deceived him, he becomes enraged and he orders the massacre of those holy innocents in Bethlehem. Before Herod's barbarous murder of innocent children, Joseph is warned in a dream to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt to avoid Herod's wrath. So it is that Joseph, Mary, and the infant Jesus become refugees, fleeing a violent ruler. Christmas promises that God comes into human existence, into the very mess of our world, in order to redeem all sin, violence, and oppression. These evils will not have the last word. Nothing will defeat the promise of God with us, of Emmanuel. God's love made known in Jesus is stronger than any power of this world, stronger even than death itself. Our first lesson this morning is from the prophet Jeremiah, and it highlights the power of God to enter into seemingly hopeless situations and offer redemption to the people. This passage is from a section of Jeremiah known as the Book of Consolation. It deals with the time the people of Israel experienced military defeat and exile at the hands of the Assyrians. They are displaced from their homeland and become political refugees. In the midst of this tragedy, Jeremiah dares to proclaim God's promise to restore the people to their homeland. God will gather the remnant of Israel from the farthest corners of the earth. They will walk by brooks of water. The path they walk will be easy. They will not stumble. God will be like a shepherd of the flock, and their mourning will be turned into joy. Gladness will replace their sorrow. We may be tempted to think of Christmas as being about having nice feelings of joy or sentiments of holiday cheer, something that we experience emotionally. But the reality is Christmas is so much more. Christmas gives us strength to be honest about the ills of our world. Christmas comes to the world as things are just now, with all injustice and brutality, and Christmas offers hope to carry on. The promise of Christmas is that God enters into this world to redeem everything, to set everything right. So we can dare to have hope that God is with us. We can trust that God is at work, acting even in the most hopeless and desperate of situations. We can live trusting that God hears our cry, that God comes to save us. We see in Scripture that God does not let King Herod kill Jesus as a child, but keeps him safe in Egypt. And as an adult, Jesus confronts the very same powers of this world who tried to kill him as a baby. And he proclaims God's love and justice. For doing so, he experiences terrible suffering when he is tortured and killed on the cross. In his passion and death, God does not abandon him, but in fact raises him on the third day. Through the waters of baptism, we share in God's promise of resurrection life, in the promise that in Jesus, God comes among us to save and deliver us. Our hope rests in the promise that God is with us in all of our trials and sorrows, redeeming, setting things right. Our gospel today offers us comfort, just as those ancient words of Jeremiah did so many centuries ago to a people displaced in exile. Matthew reminds us that God comes among us at Christmas because we need saving. Jesus is born in the midst of suffering and injustice to heal all things through the power of God's love. God does not abandon Jesus, but sustains him. And God will not abandon us, but will save us. So in this difficult Christmastide, may we, like Joseph, pay attention to our dreams. Listen to those hopes and those longings planted deep within us. May we be attentive to the way that God's call comes to us and dare to follow wherever God leads us, even when this requires that we do the unexpected, that we change our set plans, that we set out into an unknown world. Wherever we are called to go, whatever we are called to do, may we trust that God cares for us and protects us, especially in the face of suffering, challenge, and hopelessness. God will not abandon us. We are marked as Christ's own forever. Like those wise men, may we search for the presence of God, recognizing the divine presence in all people, seeing all people as beloved children of God. And may we never forget to receive those who are immigrants and refugees, offering them friendship and welcome, sharing our financial resources for their well-being, and always opposing practices of exclusion and hatred, seeking to protect the vulnerable and the powerless. In this Christmastide, let us give thanks to God for coming among us to raise us to the divine life. May we accept that abundant life that God desires to share with us. And may we always trust that God is acting even now, even as the world is full of illness, suffering, death, violence and brutality. Let our hope rest secure on God coming in to transform and redeem all things by the power of God's love. I close with the final words of the poet W.H. Auden's Christmas oratorio titled For the Time Being. Auden composed this in 1942 during the challenges of World War II, and I find these words continue to offer hope in our day. He is the way. Follow him through the land of unlikeness. You will see rare beasts and have unique adventures. He is the truth. Seek him in the kingdom of anxiety. You will come to a great city that has expected your return for years. He is the life. Love him in the world of the flesh, and at your marriage all its occasions shall dance for joy. Amen.